Thanks for joining me, Kerry Hammond, for this episode of Food and Drink Business Bites, a podcast that brings food and drink businesses in the Highland Council area all of the latest events, resources, funding opportunities, and support available through the Highlands and Islands Enterprise Food and Drink Business Support Service, part of the Northern Innovation Hub Food and Drink Tech Hub project. On the podcast today, we're joined by Alex McDonald. Alex McDonald is one of two co-founders of North Point Distillery. North Point Distillery is based in Force near Thurso. North Point Distillery sits in the shadow of Dounreay, the decommissioned power station. Alex McDonald also sits on the advisory group for Highlands and Islands Enterprise Advisory Group for the Food and Drink Tech Hub. Alex originally hails from Ottawa in Canada. Hi, Alex. Welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Not too bad. How are you getting on today?
Yeah, good. Really happy to have you with us because you have been involved with the Food and Drink Business Support Service pretty much from the beginning of our delivery. In fact, you actually spoke at our launch events, I think, didn't you?
Yeah, I believe that was in Dornoch, wasn't it? So,
tell us a little bit about yourself and North Point Distillery.
It's quite a, I won't say a varied history, but it definitely has its components. So as you kindly mentioned, I'm Canadian originally, but I originally came over to the United Kingdom in 2011 to go to university here in Scotland. So attended the University of St. Andrews, which I always say laid a fantastic foundation for both business as well as my future in the alcoholic trade. Departing St. Andrews, I was recruited into a couple of firms based outside of London. Worked through that, effectively cutting my teeth within business development and large enterprise sales before kind of turning my sights into the tech startup scene within London. Primarily working with a couple of different tech startups where high growth, fairly early stage. Definitely an eye-opening experience, and was able to really, really learn effectively what it means to be an entrepreneur from effectively being sitting front row seat. From there, effectively was able to open up my own consulting firm with my current co-founder in North Point Distillery, Stuart Mackey, who was at the time working at PricewaterhouseCoopers. So I was actually his client for two separate companies in the PwC Fast Growth Startup Program. From there, we realized there was a lot of alignment in terms of passions and energies. And in 2019, I think both of us were doing the road warrior kind of mantra of planes, trains, and automobiles. I remember I was on the road for about 11 and a half months in 2019 while still paying for a London apartment. So I realized that lifestyle was not very sustainable. And Struan wanted to effectively come back to his home county of Caithness, up here on the far northern coast of Scotland. And he offhandedly said, you know, I'd really love to start a whiskey distillery, and kind of caught my ear. And I know he had a past experience with Diageo and running their distilled ventures program through PwC. And so I immediately said, what do we need to do to make that happen? This sounds like the most intriguing thing I've heard of. That was kind of partway through 2019. We got together, came up with a business plan and early 2020, founded North Point Distillery, and we went out and sought investment, acquired it, and really started the journey of the distillery.
So your startup period of time would have been right around the COVID-19 pandemic?
Yes, which at the time we thought was a 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks, this will all blow over, don't worry about it. And I think we kept telling our lie to ourselves effectively every month after that for close to the next year and a half. But I think it showed a good amount of perseverance. And quite frankly, it set us up to having quite a resilient business, having founded during the pandemic rather than prior.
Absolutely. I think baptism of fire is entirely credible when thinking about that. It's hard enough to start up a business from scratch, but doing it literally at the peak of a pandemic, I applaud your resilience, tenacity, and the success that you've had so far.
Thank you very much. I'll just be honest, I wouldn't recommend it.
I bet. Well, fingers crossed we don't find ourselves in that position again.
All fingers, toes, everything is crossed.
Obviously, at the beginning of the startup phase, you looked at investments and funding the business. And that's one of the things that you've actually done for us through the Food and Drink Tech Hub Business Support Service, is speak at a webinar about crowdfunding and investment. Tell me a little bit more about your journey with investment and funding raising for North Point Distillery.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely born out of my previous experience, was very much related to tech startups. So I've had experience at seed raises, pre-money raises, Series A and Series C raising. From that kind of experience and from Struan's previous experience doing a lot of advisory for companies as well as distill ventures, we had a pretty good base coming into understanding investment and what we wanted. The first things first was understanding which avenue to pursue down first. It was kind of looking at crowdfunding versus more of a public raise versus also what we'd call the triple F style, which is friends, families, and fools, and effectively going and pursuing individuals within the network. We felt we had a strong enough network to pursue that. And then it was effectively looking at the tools and the avenues to effectively execute upon that. So for example, finding a fundraising platform such as Seed Legals, understanding advanced assurance principles through HMRC, which allowed us to go in and actually pursue SEIS, so Small Enterprise Investment Scheme, which then obviously leads into EIS, making sure that you qualify for those things, which is always a very important thing as part of your advanced assurance, but also understanding how that helps, in particular, domestic investors in the UK really mitigate any risks when it comes to investing in your distillery. And then we also heavily pursued international investment. So we have quite a varied and diverse portfolio of initial shareholders, both American, Canadian, a lot of folks from the UK that pursued the SEIS style, as well as some individuals throughout Europe.
And in the webinar, which is still available on the Food and Drink Tech Hub Business Support Service website, what were the sort of key points of advice that you gave for other businesses who are pursuing sort of investment and funding?
It is kind of going through and understanding the different types that you can pursue, effectively coming up with a pros and cons list of each of those, as much as that sounds redactive. Really understanding what makes sense best for your business persona, understanding your own network, and if you've completely tapped that out or not, you'd be surprised with the 6 degrees of separation who you might potentially be connected with. And then really understanding the landscape of what has been currently done in your industry, what makes your story unique, how are you differentiated, having a robust commercial model. So one of the things investors always want to know, how are you going to make money? And eventually, what does that mean for a potential exit, and understanding what that looks like, even if the firm decision is we do not know yet what our exit looks like. However, this is our roadmap. Having 3 years of projected financials always allows you to have a very robust standpoint. And my final piece of advice for absolutely every single startup business is write and rewrite and continue rewriting to the point of madness your business plan. We did 83 versions of our business plan, and we went up to as large of a file as we felt was appropriate. So at one stage, we had 140 pages of content, and pardon the pun, but we distilled that down until 40 three pages remained. And it was the most comprehensive and, quite frankly, hard-hitting information that we could project to potential investors. And what that also meant is we really understood the potential industry we were entering into before we entered into it, which meant there was not as many nasty surprises, albeit there were still many nasty surprises. And it also meant that through the first 2.5, almost 3 years, we hit our projected goals.
I think what I'm hearing from you there is the bottom line for anybody sitting in a real startup position right now is if your step number one is to go and raise capital, you've forgotten about 20 steps that should be coming before. So a lot of the work, and whether it's business planning or value proposition or market research, or as you alluded to, exit planning, there's an awful lot of steps that should come before thinking about where are we actually going to get our funding from.
I do think so. I always say, find the person most critical of your idea first in your network. Go find someone that you feel has been successful in business, ideally has also raised investment, and try and park your ego at the door when coming into meetings with them, because they realize you don't know what you don't know. All of a sudden, that conversation can fall apart very, very quickly. So I always say, make the process as seamless as possible. And you can only do that through really knowing, one, your business, two, your marketplace, and three, what you're trying to do and how you're unique.
I love that advice. So I think for anybody listening who would like to follow up and find out more about what Alex shared at that investment and crowdfunding webinar, I will pop a link in the show notes of this episode so people can go and watch that webinar on demand. Talking about investments there, Alex, so I believe that North Point Distillery, in its sort of startup and early phases, did manage to secure some funding in the Highlands and Islands Enterprise Young Company Capital Investment Grant Program.
Yes, the YBCIG. Yeah, we know it well. Now, of course, that is a 50% effectively commitment, and you definitely had to have a fairly robust plan for it. But once again, if you understand what, in this particular case, Highlands and Islands Enterprise really want to achieve in sustainable business growth, acquiring capital pieces of either equipment or allocations of funding for effectively multiplying effectiveness in that organization that is receiving that funding, and most importantly, really understanding how that funding applies to increasing headcount and sustaining additional bandwidth in terms of personnel on site. Those are all very key points and tenets that I say to folks. If you are trying to pursue public funding, you make it as easy as possible, very similarly to private investors, make it as easy and seamless and transparent as possible for them to say, these people have ticked all the boxes, they are executing upon it, and then most importantly, stay on track with what you are saying that you are buying, with who you say you are hiring, and make sure that you can report it back so that if you want to go to the well again for a second or a third time in these programs, it is a relatively mitigated risk opportunity for these organizations. I know that they're always interested in diversifying the amount of organizations they support, but one of their key kind of goals is to make sure that if you're growing fast and you really want to make a good go of this, organizations like Highlands and Islands Enterprise or Cahuna Chamber of Commerce really want to pursue organizations that want to do good within their local area.
What did you use some of that investment for? You mentioned their equipment and personnel. Did that funding allow you to bring people on board into the team? Did it allow you to bring new equipment in?
Yes. So we, when we first started, we were a team of four individuals. So it was myself, my co-founder, Struan, our brand ambassador, Laura, and then also our head distiller, Greg Benson. So we started effectively in one room, no Wi-Fi, a couple chairs, and went out and bought our first still and some barrels and realized that this is going to require much higher degrees of capital investment, especially for us to pursue eventually what we wanted to get to, which was Scotch whiskey. So within that, we have, because of programs like YBCIG, we've pursued upwards now that we are at four stills and two buildings with several hundred casks under management, a huge amount of equipment that I at times have a hard time tracking down, and I realize there's new pieces of equipment every day that I realize we haven't purchased, which is probably not a great thing. And also we are at a team of 14 individuals. So effectively, what we always committed to is saying, if we get this piece of equipment, i.e. stills, or pumps, or et cetera, we will be 35% more effective. And that 35% really needs to be then slotted in with one full-time equivalent individual, just as kind of a rough example. So it was really saying the capital will go into machinery and components that allow scalability, but then the scalability has to be met by our own personal investment into personnel.
And how many people do North Point Distillery employ now?
14. We currently have three lovely individuals who are on maternity. I think there's something in the water up here. And we are looking actually at scaling that team additionally this year by probably, we feel, another 3 to 4 individuals.
So that's really fast growth, to go from 4 to 14, potentially up to 17, 18. Have there been any challenges that have come with that?
People are always the most challenging part of every business. However, one of the things that, you know, I think is always important to note is to work with, once again, local agencies, et cetera, and funding agencies that can help sustain great growth. So, for example, Highlands and Islands actually helped us really go out and get Greg Benson, our head distiller, in through a graduate program. And we were really happy that he qualified for that. We are able to pursue lots of funding opportunities, especially throughout COVID, which had a huge amount of young people at risk for long-term unemployment due to furlough or, quite frankly, layoffs throughout the pandemic. I will say we were able to take advantage of a lot of that and bring a lot of personnel in, many of whom we've actually retained throughout this process. And we feel it takes a lot of investment into people, just to be very clear. It is not smooth sailing the entire time. But if you train and retain, then you typically see those individuals grow within your business at a meteoric rate.
And that must be, I mean, not only for business efficiency and financial performance, that's obviously key and critical, but I assume for the culture that's within your business and also, you know, for your own fulfillment and pride in the business, it must be, you know, on the softer side of things, it must be really fulfilling to see those people grow with you, with your business, and want to stay with you.
Well, one of the things that we've actually just trademarked it as well, so it's important to note, but you know, we say the people, the place, the spirits. That's the order that we kind of go through. That's our mantra. And you kind of notice the order of that in our mind. It's the people, not only within our building, but outside in our community, that we really want to work with, take care of, you know, collaborate with. So we feel the fulfillment really comes from watching someone kind of go from complete clean slate to now being able to distill or mash or do casking and really come along in their own way. And one of the things that we're exceptionally proud about is, you know, our people are award-winning as well alongside their spirits. Our distillery manager, Heather Ricker, now has been named Icons of Rum last year at Distillery Manager of the Year. And this past year, she was voted as Distillery Manager of the Year for the World Gin Awards. And then Laura Pierce has been named Best Brand Ambassador of the Year for the Gin Awards as well. So we love having award-winning individuals that effectively come in and not only bring a difference to our business, but also help to highlight the pedigree of our people, not just our spirits.
It's very clear hearing you speak that you place a lot of value on the people that work with you and the people around about you in your community. And I can tell that you want to invest in your people and support them and provide them with opportunities to grow and develop. I wanted to ask you about your own growth and development and the support that maybe you yourself have received. I wanted to ask you about Impact 30.
Impact 30, I believe we were either in the first or second cohort. My memory is getting hazy. I may be only 30 years old, but I feel like an old man. And, you know, you talked about growth. I think I am growing some white hairs now. But Impact 30 was a really interesting program that took individuals and organizations at an early stage and really tried to bring them up to speed and scalability and mature effectively their commercial model. And what I found really interesting about the program is there's quite a wide breadth of individuals that range from sole traders kind of operating what I would refer to as mom and pop scale and really looking to legitimize the business moving forward, to organizations such as ourselves who had already pursued, for example, funding rounds and were already into the scaling section of their journey. So I think it was a really great program that highlighted once again the desire to have, you know, young entrepreneur born businesses within the Highland region, without trying to sound like an advert for it. But I do think it was a really great program to see. And I would recommend anybody that has that kind of niggling in the back of their head that I really want to start a business. You know, I've been doing some sort of cooking or baking or candle making or embroidery or anything really, tech startup, doesn't matter. Pursue programs like this that, one, increase your exposure, two, increases your network, three, gets you into rooms or virtual rooms with like-minded individuals. I always say these programs are better for almost the people that you meet and can collaborate with in the future as well. And it is a great opportunity for folks to really, I would say, kickstart their business in a lot of ways.
That was a ringing endorsement for the Impact 30 program. Impact 30 is a year-long program delivered by Highlands and Islands Enterprise. And it really is designed to develop young business leaders of the future. Anybody can apply to take part in Impact 30 as long as they have a business or an idea that they're looking to take to the next level. The next intake, I believe, for the next cohorts is actually opening in May. So it's prime time to be flagging this opportunity. Anybody out there with a early stage business, or perhaps even, as you alluded to yourself, Alex, a business that may be slightly further on in the journey, can still benefit from Impact 30. I'll drop a link to the application form for Impact 30 into the show notes below. You've told us that North Point Distillery, your value proposition, the thing that you believe in, is people, place and spirits. So we've spoken a bit about the people, we've spoken a bit about the place, the community that you're in, your location. We could talk about them for hours. Unfortunately, we don't have time on the podcast. So I think it's crucial and vital that we ask you about that third ingredient and talk about your spirits.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of the whole point of our existence in many ways. So we currently have an internationally award-winning, sustainably recognized portfolio of products. We have our young whiskey barrel-aged rum, which has won gold at the World Rum Awards. We have our spiced rum, which did exceptionally well at the Great Taste Awards and also won a gold at the World Rum Awards and medals in the IWIC, International Wine Spirits Competition, kind of the Oscars for alcohol, if you will. Speaking about the IWIC, our gin got a very illustrious 98 out of 100, which ranked it as the top four London dry in the world. And it also last year, I believe it was in November, it actually won the Scottish Gin Awards as the best London dry in Scotland. So our products have been recognized for their pedigree. We are the three-time winner of the Gin Guide Awards for sustainability. We've won many sustainability awards for our process and our products. Probably the most exciting one for me to talk about is our Dalclaggie Scotch Whiskey. That is launched in November 2023. This is a time-honored thing in Scotland. This is something that you become one of less than 150 companies globally that gets to say they're Scotch Whiskey Distillery. And we felt a responsibility to do that in a very patient format, albeit I felt very impatient throughout. So that has been a fantastic thing. Within the first 3 days of launching the Scotch whiskey brand, as well as our cask program, we sold out of the entirety of portfolio casks. We have cask buyers from Taiwan all the way to Texas.
What style is the whiskey? Is it a Highland?
It's a Highland style. This is where we feel like we're shaking up. This is where we feel our differentiator is. We are going what we feel back in time to more of a heritage style of distilling that employs patience over efficiency, flavor over finance is probably the best way of putting it. So a lot of Scotch whiskey distilleries certainly really look at efficiency first. There's a term, predicted spirit yield. We are effectively going the other way. We are fermenting for extremely long periods of time, upwards of 7 to 10 days. And then we are using a heritage malt, unique yeast varietal, and we're definitely letting the spirit do what is needed to be the best possible product before it even enters the cask.
You were part of a common interest group through the Food and Drink Business Support Service. I believe it was a distiller's specific common interest group. Can you tell me how that came to be?
Distilleries are, I mean, everybody thinks this, but distilleries truly are a very unique organization with a level of complexity and quite frankly, tax compliance that most organizations do not have to combat with on a day-to-day basis. And the amount of regulation that we have to jump through, especially in Scotland, to ensure that none of us end up in handcuffs, is what can feel insurmountable. I think working within that group and really why it was created was to create almost a network and a safe haven for individuals where we can speak the language that is so second nature to us now, and get into, do you use this bottle supplier, or, where are you finding good corrugate for boxes, all the way to, how best do you find your filings for HMRC under this regime, et cetera? It kind of broke everyone out of what I would refer to as bad habits for insular kind of habits and allowed everyone to kind of take a deep breath and realize there's help from network and there's help from community. I think it showed organizations, particularly in Scotland, where I think it's very easy to be insular, especially in the Highlands, where you are geographically removed from one another, that you can collaborate in a very open and transparent format. And I mean, even now we have some great collaborations with a couple members on those groups. An example is Glenn Withis, Eight Doors, and the folks at Dornick Distillery, the Thompson Brothers. We've done some amazing collaboration on cask purchasing, on some other projects as well. And we're really, really excited.
So overall, you would recommend common interest groups to people in industry?
I think it would be a massive disservice to remove yourself or not actively participate in common interest groups. If you are lucky enough to be invited into one of them, realize that that is a version of being in a room with like-minded individuals that understand your problems better than anybody else can.
We have some upcoming opportunities through the Food and Drink Tech Hub Business Support Service for businesses who would like to investigate either starting up common interest groups or joining any existing ones. So if you are listening and you are a business either with common issues and opportunities with businesses round about you in a geographical area, or perhaps businesses all from the same industry, then please check the link in the show notes. So, Alex, I am aware you are an incredibly busy man with an incredibly busy business to run, and I have taken quite a lot of your time already today. Before I do let you go, I just want to know what's next for North Point Distillery.
We are working on some fairly large projects that I can't publicly disclose just yet, so I'm not trying to be a tease. But the things that I can disclose is we are working like absolute bandits on continuing and expanding our Del Claggy production capabilities. A couple other large plans involve some land, some real estate, future cask management portfolios, which has expanded our export interests further afield into Asia and North America. And one of the things that we are aggressively pursuing now is validating our sustainability credentials through what we would see as industry accepted standards. So not only are we about 85% through our B Corp certification process, we are also pursuing what we feel is a level above, which is a net zero badge. So that is something that we hope in the next 3 to 4 months, we can not only say we are B Corp certified, but we are a net zero provider of distillate. And that is an incredibly difficult thing, given how energy intensive our business is. However, we feel we've got the right ingredients to make that come together.
Thank you so much for coming on to the podcast today. If people listening would like to find out more about North Point Distillery and keep up to date with your big news that you're keeping under your hat, where's the best place for them to do that?
Obviously, your usual big four, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter, are always great resources for kind of day-to-day updates and understanding a little bit more of our business. If you'd like to kind of peek behind the curtain, if you will, for some of the more longer form updates, et cetera, we would always recommend subscribing to our newsletter, where we have monthly long form, certainly very long form, newsletters being published every month by our distillery manager, Heather, as well as further blog updates that show a little bit of, once again, kind of pulling back the curtain, seeing the magic behind and the madness behind creating a distillery and running it. So we are continuing to grow that. And we have plans for also creating some long form content onto a YouTube channel that we've just recently launched as well.
Fantastic. I will certainly go and be following you on all of those platforms. Thanks so much for your time today, and all the very best with what's next for North Point Distillery.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to come on to the podcast today.
If you enjoyed this episode of Food and Drink Business Bites, please subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. And if you'd like to attend any of our events or find out more about anything we mentioned in the episode, check out the show notes for more information and links. This podcast is brought to you in association with Highlands and Islands Enterprise Food and Drink Tech Hub Business Support Service, a Northern Innovation Hub project funded by the City Region Deal.